From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. So glad to see you all. We have got a great show for you today. Actress Deborah Winger will be joining us later to play her Not My Job game. We're going to get her and carry her into the theater across the threshold. Very exciting. But first, I want to tell you that after today, Carl will be leaving us for a few weeks. Sad but true. As per usual, national security concerns prevent me from telling you where he is going. But I will point out, he leaves, the Olympics start, the Olympics end, he comes back.
Uh-huh.
I will also point out, gymnast Paul Hamm had to withdraw because of an injury. And you have never seen anything, ladies and gentlemen, until you have seen Carl Castle work those hips on the pommel horse. Crazy legs, they call him. But we've got him for an hour before glory calls, so give us a call. The number, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Peacock from Austin, Texas.
Elizabeth Peacock from Austin, Woo-hoo. Texas? What do you do there in Austin?
Well, I work in San Antonio.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I'm a medical examiner.
You're a medical examiner?
Yes.
Like Quincy?
Yes.
You do autopsies?
Yes.
Okay, now I have mixed feelings about you. It's Wow.
How are we doing so far?
Yeah. Is that interesting work? Do you...
It is interesting.
Wow.
I've been doing it for 20 years, and I'm still fascinated.
Really? I mean, every day, do you say to yourself, maybe I'll find something in the next body I've never seen before?
Oh, and it happens once in a while.
Do you find that if you stare at people at dinner parties too long, they get uncomfortable?
Elizabeth, welcome to our show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a humorist and the author of the forthcoming book, Alphabet Juice, Mr. Roy Blunt, Jr.
Oh, I'm so thrilled.
Hi, Elizabeth.
And a comedian who will be appearing at the One World Theater in Austin, Texas, right where you are, on Friday, August 29th, Paula Poundstone.
Hello, Paula.
Hey, Elizabeth, I'm feeling good.
Well, that's great.
And lastly, welcome somebody who is joining our panel for the very first time, NPR's own Allison Stewart. So great to have
you. Well, welcome to the panel, Allison.
Thanks, Elizabeth. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Elizabeth, welcome to our show. You're going to play Who's Carl This Time? Carl Castle will now reenact for you three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl Castle's voice, on your home answering machine. Ready to go?
Yeah, I sure am.
All right, here we go. Now, your first quote is just something we selected from a flurry of responses this week to a new ad by the John McCain campaign. Now, this particular comment came from Jezebel.com.
I need to see Obama stepping out the limo with an upskirt shot. Then I will equate him with Brit and Paris.
So this new McCain ad makes a pretty harsh charge. It says that Barack Obama is too what to be elected president?
Celebrity.
Yes, he's too popular to be president, right. Too famous. Faced with an opponent who can draw massive screaming crowds in this country and abroad, the McCain campaign has decided to convince voters that this is, in fact, a fatal flaw. The ad shows images of Britney Spears and Paris Hilton, two icons of substance-free fame. And then it calls Obama, quote, the biggest celebrity in the world. It's implying that all Barack Obama has done to deserve this fame is make an internet sex tape. Yeah. Which, of course, is true, but he also helped pass an ethics reform bill, so just shut up about it, okay? This meme has actually caught on. Pundits are now suggesting that by being widely beloved, Obama runs the risk of losing popular support.
I'm electable. I like this turn it's taken. I do.
You do, you think?
Yeah, it works for me.
Well, it is true that the McCain campaign says that their candidate will prove his ability as a leader by continuing to fail to get people to show up and listen to him. There is actually a true footnote to this story that I love. Paris Hilton's parents have given the maximum amount allowable to the McCain campaign, but now they have said that they are withdrawing their support from John McCain because they say that the ad demeans their daughter. Uh-huh.
That's hot.
That's hot. That's so hot.
Well, I think the ad does, in truth, demean their daughter. Mm-hmm. But if they're withdrawing money from everyone who's demeaned their daughter, that could explain a lot of the economic woes.
Elizabeth, let's move on to your very next quote.
You're making the choices about whether you want to drive a little extra more or not drive extra more.
That was a man speaking this week about energy policy at an electric company in Ohio who is out to show the world that he still got it.
Would be our esteemed leader from Texas.
Very wise. Do you remember his name? Because it's slipping my mind. That's right. It's President Bush. President Bush.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Apparently not realizing that Barack Obama has already taken over, the president made an official appearance this week. He made an appearance this week to talk about energy. The Houston Chronicle describes his appearance this way, quote, "It seemed his mind was elsewhere," which raises the question, where has he left it? The president also offered insight into the current high price of gas. Quote, "When you hear my gasoline prices are going up, you got to understand the main reason why is because oil prices are going up."
Oh, yeah.
Seriously. It's saving energy, though, I think.
Seriously, won't we miss him? I mean, we just got like...
We'll get over it. One another through.
Okay. All right, Elizabeth, your last quote is actually a series of quotes. They're laments, really, from just a few of the million people devastated this week by some sad news.
What the heck am I supposed to do at work now?
And?
The world is a sadder, lonelier place today. What kind of society are we that allows such a thing to happen?
And finally?
And now? Riots, mayhem, looting, and lots of uppercase shouting.
Those were people reacting to the news that because of a lawsuit, they would no longer be able to play what while on the popular website Facebook?
Scrabulous or something about
she
Scrabble?
She is good. Scrabulous, ladies and gentlemen. Parents of America, you wonder what exactly those crazy kids have been doing all these months staring at Facebook.com? Well, actually, they're trying to hook up, but many other people have been playing Scrabulous, an unauthorized online version of Scrabble. Some people say they had 9 or 10 games going at once, which explains why the Chinese are cleaning our clock economically. But Hasbro, the toys and games giant, which owns Scrabble, the real version, had enough of this infringement. They decided they didn't want millions of people learning to enjoy their game, because if too many people like it, it won't be cool anymore. And as everybody who has met a dedicated Scrabble player knows, they put a premium on cool.
Easy.
I had waltz once over triple word score.
And this is the highlight of your life, and you remember to this day?
Yes. It never came up in a social situation where I could mention it without just simming.
So glad. We can provide that for you.
Yeah.
Carl, how did Elizabeth do on our quiz?
As you said, Peter, she's good. She had 3 correct answers, so Elizabeth, I will be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Well done. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Roy, the Olympics are starting soon. A restaurant owner in China realized that he'd better put up a sign in English if he wanted that international business. So he fed his restaurant name into an internet translator site and put up a new sign that says what?
Says, it says probably something really that he didn't intend. Something like that.
That yet has humorous resonance for the rest of us. That's a good bet.
Right, something like, what kind of food does he serve in there? Does that help?
It doesn't. We don't know.
We don't
know. The sign gives us no clue.
Chinese.
Anybody know?
I know. Verizon.
No. I'll tell you, the restaurant in China has a big sign and it announces its name to the world. Translate server error.
Oh, right.
I was close. Ooh.
You were. The restaurant is located right next to the File Cannot Be Found Cafe. Thank you so much, everybody. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey there, how you doing?
Doing fine. Who's this?
This is Chad Johnston from Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Hey, Chad, how are you? Got some Chapel Hill fans, Chapel Hillians?
Apparently so.
That's great. Well, welcome to the show. Now, you're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Chad's topic?
At long last, I can take pride, deep animal pride, in being a man.
I see.
It's a burden, as we know, Chad, carrying a Y chromosome around. Used to be a man could belch and scratch his belly and carouse and smoke and have assignations in airport men's rooms, and nobody would say boo. Not anymore. But not so fast, Gloria Steinem. This week we heard about something that'll finally make the male path a little easier to walk. Each of our panelists will tell you about something that would give any man's man a spring in his step. Pick that real one, you'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine. All right, Chad, you ready to play?
I am ready.
First up, let's hear from Paula Poundstone.
When Dad's in charge while Mom is away, he can turn to the Doodad Manual. The Doodad is a book of facts about the dad's family and home filled out by their daily caregivers. Dads love it, says creator Heather Lowe. In so many families, the dad is busy bringing home the bacon and they simply cannot be that close to the details of daily home life. The Doodad gives him the information he needs if Mom can't be there or if he just wants to give her a break. The book, filled out by the daily caregiver, includes information such as who little Johnny's teacher is and when to tuck him in. The early pages include the basics, the number of children in the home, their names, who can feed themselves, and do any use assistive devices for walking. User Indigo Sanchagrin sings its praises. My wife had that kind of brain surgery where she stayed awake during the entire procedure, but it just didn't seem like the right time to ask where we keep the garage keys. And if our daughter's eyes are normally kind of swollen shut how they've been. Fortunately, it's in the Doodad.
The Doodad book. To help dads learn those things they've just been too busy to find out. Next up, let's hear a story about something that makes life a little more awesome for men from Allison Stewart.
Competition is tough out there for a fella who just wants to feel pretty. Enter a new line of kick-ass cosmetics for men called Taxi Man, going on sale now at all superdrug stores in London. Now, any dude can realize his butch beauty potential with the help of mascara for eyelash enhancement because size matters. There is no longer any pain in being seen as to be vain, says the line's creator, Peter Kelly. Worried that your big boy paws will make application tough? No problem. The guy shadow pencils will not be slim and girly. Instead, they'll be big and burly, plus size chunky stubs to accommodate man hands. For the bloke who wants to not only look fantastic, but man-tastic.
Mascara and guy liner, just part of a new line of makeup for men, manly makeup for men. Your last story of good news for mankind comes from Roy Blunt, Jr.
Guys don't want to eat leaves, okay? Says Gunnar Gundy, owner and chef of Gunner's Grill in Wabash, Indiana. A pile of crinkly leaves and sort of purplish leaves mixed in with light green leaves and ruffledy leaves with whiffs of vinegar and herbs and a few raw carrot swirls and some more leaves and something that looks like acorn bits. Whose ribs does that stick to? But if you're a guy who lives with a woman, chances are the concept salad means a lot to her, and she wants you to share her enthusiasm. So, Gunner suggests you get that lady a copy of his new cookbook, Lad's Salads, The Masculine Way of Mesclun. Recipes for tossed sausages salad, a bacon and biscuit salad, a piña colada salada. But what about greenery? Yeah, okay, says Gunner. We cover that under garnishes.
All right, then. Let's review your choices from Paula Poundstone, The Doodad Book, a new concept in home instruction that tells Dad all the things he needs to know to actually be at home. From Allison Stewart, a line of makeup, including mascara and guyliner for those guys who want to look good while still feeling manly. And lastly, from Roy Blunt, Jr., a new salad cookbook for men that puts in all the meats that salads have been so far lacking. Which of these is the real story of a life aid for men?
A life aid for men. Mm-hmm. Boy, being the metrosexual guy that I am, I think I'm going to have to go with the second one, with the eyeliner.
You're a metrosexual yourself, you're saying?
Well, no, not necessarily, but I've...
I see. Now you're backing off. Okay. That's fine. All right, but your choice then is Allison's story of the mascara and the guyliner. Well, let's speak to someone who knew a lot about this helpful stuff.
Mainly cosmetics that are used by women are because women want to look beautiful. Men wear cosmetics in order to cover imperfections or enhance the look. It's not to change the look. We do not suggest to use the eyeliner the same way women use.
That was Marieke Hewick, the president of men's cosmetic line Forvoo, explaining why some men might choose to wear guyliner for a night out in the town. I don't know if I would ever buy makeup for myself, but if I did, the guy I bought it from would probably sound like that. Congratulations, Chad. You got it right. You have earned a point for Allison. She's never done that before, so that's great for her. And you have won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting on your home answering machine. Thank you for playing with us today, Chad.
Thank you, guys. Take
bye
care.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Chad.
And now the game where the famous answer questions about the obscure. Speaking of fame, Deborah Winger was one of the biggest movie stars of the 1980s and 90s, with 3 Best Actress Oscar nominations for her roles in An Officer and a Gentleman, Terms of Endearment, and Shadowlands. She did many other classic films, and then she did something astounding. She just walked away, just gave it up. And after years out of the spotlight, she's recently returned to acting and has written a book called Undiscovered, and most importantly, and most shockingly, agreed to join us here. Deborah Winger, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. So I got to tell you, one of the things we wanted to do when we found out you'd be on our show, we were so honored and thrilled, I wanted to go online and look at some of your scenes from the movies that I went and saw back then in the 80s and 90s, and I typed in Deborah Winger into YouTube. And the first 10 results were not An Officer and a Gentleman. They were not Shadowlands. They were not Urban Cowboy.
Oh, God.
They were Wonder Girl. Apparently, back in the 1970s, you had a recurring role on the old Wonder Woman TV show with Linda Carter as...
Yeah, I think recurring would be a good word. Chronic or recurring.
Chronic, recurring.
That was a brief interlude in a somewhat spotty career, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it seems like the fan base out there is really entranced.
The fan base up here is really entranced.
Yeah, Wonder Girl.
I would get so close to the TV. I was about 10 years old when that was on. I loved Wonder Girl, and Deborah would...
Oh, thanks for that.
I loved... I'm serious.
Yeah.
It meant a lot to
me.
Well,
I was only 12, so.
Yeah. There's a great story, and you actually tell this in your book, that I loved it, of how you got what most people think of as your first really big role, that is the lead in Urban Cowboy. And apparently, you just broke in to Paramount Studios.
Oh, great. It's always a criminal act, isn't it, with you, Peter? I mean, these were the days, you know, you didn't have to take off your shoes in the airport. So
right.
Let's just say that security wasn't quite what it is today. So I sort of fumbled my way in. I didn't climb over anything.
So you heard that they were casting for this role, the female role, opposite John Travolta, one of the biggest movie stars in the world at the time.
Right.
And you just walked into the audition studio
without
an appointment.
Well, I showed up as Sissy, if you saw the film.
So you came in character.
I did.
She was kind of a hard-bitten young Texas woman, if I remember.
Yeah, right. It was a real stretch for me.
Now, you've written your book, Undiscovered, which is a reference, I guess, to the way you were before, you know, the classic term for the actress who hasn't been discovered yet. What do you say, though? I mean, one of the interesting things, of course, is that you were a movie star, which, last I checked, is what pretty much everybody in America wants to be. And you were that, and you decided to do something else.
Right, yeah, I started working on my obscurity, which, you know, took equally as much time.
I saw you at a screening of a really good movie, the Jonathan Demme movie.
Well, whatever, you get around, Roy.
Yeah, whatever happened to that?
Well, that's about to come out in September.
What's the movie?
And that's called Rachel Getting Married.
What made you decide to start performing in films again?
Well, I mean, I never stopped being interested in, you know, what was being offered. So I'm reading again. That's what it is. I'm reading scripts again, and some of them seem kind of interesting to me now in my life as it is now and at my age as it is now.
We were looking into your background in preparation for this, and we discovered something interesting, that you seem to have been the voice for E.T. the Extraterrestrial. Any truth to that?
It's sort of true. I mean, I did lay down the tracks, and you would have to consult with Mr. Spielberg about how they were used, but I do believe that my voice is in there mixed with, you know, several other things.
Now, when you did it, did you actually try to sound like an alien, or were you just Deborah Winger saying?
I think that's sort of one and the same.
Really?
Yeah, you know, I just sounded like myself, and some would say, "Not that's not a stretch."
So. Could I ask you to recreate that voice now?
Only if your name were Elliot.
Oh.
She did that say Elliot.
She did say Elliot.
Yeah, yeah.
And I felt a certain leap in my heart as she did that. Wow. So let me ask you something. I don't know how to put this, but...
You're stuttering.
I'm stuttering because...
Yeah, wait, don't phone home.
Okay.
Is... All right, it's out on the table now. The phone home, please.
I will just come out and say it, that you had a reputation in the height of your stardom as...
No wonder you're stuttering. This is going to be one of those questions.
As a demanding person, I'll put it that way, as a person who insisted on standards. Is that fair? Is it true? Is it nonsense? Is you have no idea what I'm talking about?
No, I would say that, you know, I don't begrudge anyone that opinion, but, you know, I do feel pretty good about what I did out there in the world, and... I think that if you want people to come and see your movies and your name is on it, you got to have a certain bar. And, you know, as long as you're not slouched over at it.
Right.
My bar was pretty high.
Your bar was pretty high. You had standards and you wanted people to meet them.
Yeah, I hope I wasn't too bombastic, but you've gotten your information.
How demanding could she be? She's on our show.
That's true. Yeah, what about that bar? I guess it sunk a little bit in the intervening years.
Yeah.
Well, we're delighted to have you with us, Deborah Winger. We have asked you here to play a game that we're calling...
No opponent could pry you out of office, but the FBI is here with some crowbars.
In other words, you're Ted Stevens, the man who became a senator from Alaska just a few years after helping to make it a state, is in trouble. He was indicted by the feds on charges of falsely reporting income. We're going to ask you three questions about the guy who's been for decades one of the most powerful men in the Senate. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice on their home answering machine. Also, $70 million in federal funds to build a bridge from their bedroom to their den. So, Carl, who is actress Deborah Winger playing for?
Deborah is playing for Robin Kramer of Tucson, Arizona.
Ready to do this?
Okay, Robin, I apologize in advance.
This is nothing. Here we go. Here's your first question. Senator Stevens is 84. He lived a rich, full life before he moved to Alaska in the 50s to work as a lawyer. Among the things he did before that were which of these? A, he was a pioneering surfer, hoping to create the sport on the beaches of Southern California in the late 1930s. B, he was a circus performer touring the Midwest, swallowing flaming swords and torches. Or C, he was a hairdresser among the most popular with the ladies of Des Moines, Iowa in the 1940s.
Wow. Any answer's a winner.
Well, I think when you're a Republican, you got to go with the hairdresser.
Really? He was a hairdresser, you say?
I think that's, you think, you know, that's,
I guess. I like the image, I have to admit. But in fact,
he'll have that to fall back on, too. No.
Yeah. He was a surfer, believe it or not.
Oh, yes.
He was a surfer. He lived in Manhattan Beach, California in high school. He used to go surfing after school. He still has an old wooden surfboard among his memorabilia.
Okay, all right. I'm one down.
You're one down.
Oh, Robin.
But no, you thrive. You thrive against odds, I can tell. Here we go. Next question. Prior to his indictment, one of Senator Stevens' most infamous moments came a day on the Senate floor when they were debating a bill about regulating the Internet, which, by the way, his committee controlled regulation of the Internet. He achieved immortality that day when he said what? A, quote, "All I know is whenever I try to look at the computer, naked ladies show up." Did he say B, quote, "The Internet is not a truck, it's a series of tubes," unquote? Or did he say C, quote, "I don't like those E letters because you can't crinkle crunkle them in your hand," unquote?
Oh, I gotta go with the series of tubes. It's
series
like
of tubes?
Rocket surgery.
You're right. Oh, series
yeah.
of tubes. Senator Stevens' pungent description of the Internet as a series of tubes immediately achieved legendary status on the series of tubes known as the Internet. It's even inspired dance
not
mixes
of a series of tubes?
Well, no.
Oh, okay.
Technically. Mainly wires.
Okay.
And elves. All right, this is very exciting. This is what we call dramatic tension, because you, in fact,
yeah.
have one right with one left to go. Get this, and you will win. Here we go. Ready? Senator Stevens is known for raising huge amounts of money for his home state. He's also a man given to philanthropic pursuits. He founded the Ted Stevens Foundation some years ago that has what public-minded mission? Is it A, it helps teach high school students about the exciting process known as budget markup in a parliamentary setting? B, it pays for sun lamps and other efforts to help ease the problem of cabin fever and perennial darkness in Alaska's winter months? Or C, it helps educate the public about the career and good works of one Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska?
I'm going with C because that's what I think of the guy.
Ted Stevens founded a foundation to teach people about all the wonderful things he, Ted Stevens, has done?
Yeah.
You're right, Deborah.
Oh, I can go home and save my children.
You can.
Oh, good.
The, quote, nonpartisan and nonpolitical Ted Stevens Foundation is devoted to educating the public about Ted Stevens. People think it might be a tax dodge of some kind. So, Carl, how did Deborah Winger do in our quiz?
Deborah did all right. You had two correct answers at the end, so you win for Robin Kramer.
Oh, hi.
Well done. Deborah Winger has appeared in numerous movies, including An Officer and a Gentleman, Shadowlands, and Terms of Endearment. And she just wrote her first book, Undiscovered. Deborah Winger, thank you so much for being with us today.
Much.
Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. And first, it's a new feature on our show. We're calling it...
Wait, Vets the Veep Stakes.
As everybody knows, McCain and Obama are, at this very moment, kidnapping Midwestern governors, bringing them back to their mountain headquarters, and having them battle in elaborate martial arts contests in order to choose their running mate. We thought we'd save them a little time by revealing little-known facts about some of the people on the shortlists. In the form of a question. First up, Sam Nunn and Chris Dodd, both Democrats, rumored to be favored by Obama. Allison, these two men, in addition to being Democratic senators, have one other thing in common. According to a report published in 1994, they are both what? They have something in common.
Sam Nunn and Chris Dodd.
Mm-hmm.
Their last names have the same amount of letters?
Mm. That might have some... Maybe they just have limited amount of space on the stickers. after Obama, and they're looking for four letters or less.
Dodd, none.
No, not that, though. Oh. I'll give you a hint.
Please.
That report published in 1994, that expose, published in the Weekly World News.
Ooh.
So the Weekly World News reported...
practically
aliens?
Aliens, yes, of course. Ooh. Aliens. According to the Weekly World News, they are both full-blooded space aliens. In June of 1994, the Weekly World News published an explosive expose according to a space alien who met with Bill Clinton in the White House. 12 sitting U.S. senators were members of his, or rather its, extraterrestrial race. Among the senators so exposed were Nunn and Dodd. At the time, Senator Dodd was confronted by the Weekly World News and expressed relief that, quote, this is all public. Senator Phil Graham, also named in the report, told the Weekly World News, quote, it's all true. We are space aliens, and I'm amazed that it's taken you so long to find out, unquote. In his case, I don't think he was joking.
No.
Meanwhile, at the same time, in 1994, in his residence, Vice President Al Gore breathed a sigh of relief through his disguised third nostril. And went back to his work of cooling our planet to the point where his frigid race could colonize this planet. Mm.
Obama Dodd sounds good, doesn't it?
Obama Dodd?
Obama Dodd.
Obama Dodd. No.
It sounds like a mini Dodd.
No,
actually.
It's like Obama Dodd. Do, 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 do.
Banana.
Do,
do, do, do. Obama Dodd. Do, 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 do,
do, do, do, do, do, do, do, do. Hey. Well, I guess we made that ticket.
There you go. Paula, over the years, there have been many threats to the dignity of the British monarchy, but that dignity may have now been dealt its fatal blow this week when an auction house sold off what?
A pair of the Queen's undies.
Right. Queen Victoria, in fact. Mm-hmm. Now we know what Victoria's secret really is. Namely, handmade bloomers with a 50-inch waist that have a monogram that reads VR for, and I'm going to say this carefully and clearly, Victoria Regina.
Might it be Regina?
No, it's Regina. We checked. Believe
where?
Me, we checked.
Where? Where?
We checked in the... No, it's, it of course means Victoria, Queen Victoria. That's, you know, Latin.
Oh,
and,
no.
And these,
what do you mean,
bloomers,
of course?
These bloomers are described as, quote, open crotch style with separate legs joined by a drawstring at the waist, a popular style in the late Victorian era, unquote. They sold for $9,000. These bloomers were described by the auctioneer as, quote, very exciting, which makes us wonder both about the tastes of the auctioneer or the British definition of the word exciting. Because when we think of Queen Victoria wearing split crotch panties with a 50-inch waist, we are not amused.
I wonder how many people will wear them next.
Really? You think they're going to be used?
Sure, yeah, a whole family could wear them. 50 inches, that is big.
I can't, you know,
large.
And she was not a tall woman. No, she was like 5.5 feet tall, right? Mm-hmm. So,
why? Maybe she was wearing it wrong.
Who's going to tell the queen you're wearing your underwear wrong?
She didn't, from head to toe, she kept putting them on side.
I'm not much of a historian. Were there ever reports of her bumping into things a lot?
Your Majesty, you look wonderful, but perhaps you should put your head through the leg hole. So as to see, Your Majesty.
And I'll bet that Victoria's underwear had something written on it.
You know what I bet it said? I bet it said in like that old English Victorian style, I bet it said juicy in huge letters.
That's right.
Across the back. Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's time for Carl to recreate some more voices from the week's news. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Terry from Los Angeles.
Hey, Terry, how are things in L.A.?
Well, a couple days ago they were shaking pretty well.
Ah.
Really? But you survived?
I survived mainly by pushing women out of the way and getting out of the building I was in.
That's the classic L.A. way. Good for you. Terry, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Carl this time. Carl Castle will now recreate three more quotes from the week's news. Your job, of course, correctly identify or explain two of them. If you do that, Carl will record the greeting on your home answering machine. Here is your first quote.
What is it about George W. Bush that makes you want to serve him?
That was one of the questions we now know that was posed by one Monica Goodling to people who wanted to work where?
At the Department of Justice.
Yes! Technically, you are not allowed to take politics into account when hiring at the Justice Department, but then again, some people think that technically Al Gore is finishing his second term. According to the department's inspector general, the infamous Monica Goodling subjected applicants to a battery of questions about their politics, including whether they loved George Bush a lot or a whole lot. One applicant said he loved George Bush so much he would tear out his own heart and roast it on a spit just to feed tidbits to the president. And Goodling responded, "That's wonderful, Attorney General Gonzalez, but you already have a job." Here, sir, is your next quote.
If every American were to pitch in $2,000, or in terms we can all really understand, if every American gave up 666 lattes for a year.
That was ABC News Claire Shipman explaining that if every single American chipped in and did his or her part, the United States could easily pay off what, which is now at a record high?
The national debt?
Yes, well, actually the budget deficit, but yeah, the national deficit, we need more nor lattes than that. But yes, the White House announced this week that it needs about $490 billion in ticket sales at the annual White House talent show in Sockop if it wants to break even this year. And the federal budget has announced the annual budget deficit will be at a record high. Some economists say the U.S. is lowballing even that deficit estimate because the $490 billion amount doesn't even include things like funding for the Iraqi war, money borrowed from Social Security, or the money that's been appropriated to start construction on the Death Star. All right, very good. Here's your last quote.
I always kind of liked them when they were tiny, but after it lasted longer, kind of freaked me out.
That was Elizabeth Cispuglio of Corona, California, talking about what event that shook up Southern California this week.
Earthquake.
Yeah, you lucky guy. You called apparently at the right time. Worked out well for you. Who knows what Sharon Stone will blame this one on. An earthquake which registered 5.4 magnitude struck 35 miles east of downtown Los Angeles. As you know, on Tuesday, Elizabeth Cispuglio wasn't the only one whose day was interrupted. Footage shows Judge Judy scrambling from her courtroom, leaving the plaintiff and defendant to fend for themselves. In another television courtroom close by, Judge Penny Brown dove under her desk while a woman was still testifying. So what did you do during the quake, quite seriously?
Well, I was on the 10th floor of a building in Pasadena. Yeah. I looked around, and everyone seemed pretty calm. This was my first earthquake, so I got out of the building.
Really?
We don't have earthquakes in Wisconsin where I'm from, so
no.
I probably didn't know how to react appropriately.
Wow. You know, they're over with so quickly, before you even know what it is. And then you go, oh, that's why the cats were puffed up. Not that dramatic
really?
At all. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, cats apparently sense it ahead yeah. of time and they puff up.
Yeah. When you say puff up, do you mean they inflate like puffer fish? Because I've never owned cats on or around an earthquake. I've never seen this.
No. Their hair stands.
Okay, because I
Sorry.
Thought that'd be like an evolutionary adaptation and then if they fell, they'd bounce.
No, it's not like that.
Carl, how did Terry do in our quiz?
Terry was perfect, Peter. Three correct answers, so Terry, you win our prize.
Well done.
Thank
Congratulations.
You.
Wow.
Terry, thank you so much for playing.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye now. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Peter, we have a tie for first place. Allison Stewart and Paula Poundstone each has 3 points. They're in first place. Roy Blunt Jr. has 2.
I see. All right, Roy, you are in last place, so you're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. On Tuesday, the House of Representatives issued an official apology for blank.
Slavery.
Right, also Jim Crow. Just a week after he hit a pedestrian with his car, columnist blank was diagnosed with a brain tumor.
Novak.
Right, that may be why he didn't notice. Athletes in Iraq were thrilled that the ban has been lifted, and they will be allowed to participate in the blank.
The Olympics.
Right. An Israeli student apologized for taking Barack Obama's prayer from the blank.
From the Wailing Wall.
Right. The Western Wall. You stick it in. A woman at a New York City gym had to be rescued by firefighters after the exercise equipment she was on blanked.
Oh, flung her through the air.
Exactly like a slingshot. The New York Times reported that although Apple CEO blank has health problems, they are not life-threatening.
Oh, Apple CEO Steve Jobs.
Right. Authorities in Las Vegas detained comedy icon blank after they discovered a firearm in his carry-on luggage.
I wish I had been here for this. Jerry Lewis.
You wish you had seen that?
Yeah, well, I couldn't figure out.
Exactly. Investigators in Denton, Texas are investigating how a 5-year-old boy managed to slip out of his daycare center and end up at blank.
Bar.
No, he ended up at Hooters.
That's a bar. Hooters is a bar.
Hooters is a bar. So this 5-year-old boy walked out of the Imagination Station Child Care Center, crossed a busy highway, and ended up in a different kind of Imagination Station. A Hooters half a mile away. The Hooters general manager said he was pretty impressed with the boy's maturity. He knew how to cross a busy street. Plus, he also knew how to order the spicy hot wings before pinching the waitress. Carl, how did Roy do in our quiz?
Roy had a great round. 7 correct answers for 14 more points. He now has 16 points and the lead.
We have flipped a coin, and Paula has elected to go last. So, Allison, you're up next. Fill in the blank. Saying, the big powers are going down, the president of blank blamed the world's problems on the U.S. and other superpowers.
Iran.
Right. Angry that they had rejected Microsoft's buyout offer, billionaire investor T. Boone Pickens called blank pathetic and dumped all his stock. Yahoo, right. In what the Brooklyn paper called a goyish gaffe, New York congressional candidate Kevin Powell promised leaders of the Hasidic community there that he would blank.
Go to church.
No, that he would bring home the bacon for his district.
Oh.
NBC News announced that Mark Whitaker would replace the late blank as
Tim
Washington
Russell.
Bureau Chief, right? Researchers at the Salk Institute in California are excited over 2 drugs that may keep people physically fit without blank.
Exercising.
Right. A family in Germany has bought a blank for use for shopping and errands around town.
Volkswagen.
No, a 6-ton military surplus tank. Do you want to make sure that nobody cuts you off on the way to the mall? Follow the lead of the Schonisch family in Germany. Run your errands in a military surplus tank. Joachim Schonisch shelled out about $48,000 for the 6-ton tank. It has a disabled 30-millimeter gun, but nobody knows it's disabled. 3-inch armor plating. He retrofitted it with a tricked-out baby seat for his 2-year-old son. He says, quote, we take the tank to go shopping and, you know, little trips. It's a bit hard to find a parking place, but we get right of way at every intersection. Carl, how did Allison do in our quiz?
Well, Allison had 4 correct answers for 8 more points. She now has 11 points, but Roy still has the lead with 16.
And Carl, how many does Paula need to win?
7 correct answers.
Well, ready?
Certainly.
Okay, here we go. Fill in the blank. The future of Mideast peace talks were in question after the prime minister of blank announced that he will step down within 2 months.
Israel.
Right. The House Judiciary Committee voted to cite White House advisor blank with contempt of Congress for refusing to testify. Right. Radovan Karadzic refused to enter a plea at his war crimes trial tribunal at the blank.
Hick.
Right. Prison officials in Florida are calling the 12-inch square hole through which 2 prisoners escaped their jail a blank.
Terrible mistake.
It's a design flaw, is what they said. Does she get that? What do you think? She gets that. All right, good. Touted as a Google killer, the new search engine called blank debuted this week to middling reviews.
I don't know. The Dick Cheney's looking at you.
It's called Cool, spelled C-U-I-L.
Right.
Tim Donaghy, a referee for the blank, was sentenced to 15 months in jail for betting on games he himself refereed.
For the NBA.
Right. Trouble is brewing between Germany and Poland over the delicate issue of blanks at the border.
Over the delicate issue of snowballs at the border.
No, naked Germans.
Yes.
Close.
Exhibitionist German tourists. Is that redundant? They've been coming to Usedom, a nude beach in the Baltic coast, for decades. Until this year, though, they were protected by this fence and the border. But borders have been relaxed. They removed the fence. Now the Poles and the Germans are mixed. The Poles are closed. The Germans are not. Strife has ensued. The Germans accusing the Poles of gawking at them, sometimes with binoculars. The Poles accusing the Germans of walking around to be gawked at. Past years, this could have led to world war. But instead, the problem was solved in true modern European fashion, a huge subsidy to pay for blindfolds and liposuction. Carl, did Paula do well enough to win?
She needed 7 correct answers, but Paula had just 5 correct answers. So with 16 points, Roy Blunt Jr. is this week's champion.
Well done, sir. Very well done.
I couldn't have done it without the rest of you.
True. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists, what with all the speculation about potential vice presidential candidates, who will be the big surprise pick? First, let me tell you, though, that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Lumber Liquidators, hardwood, bamboo, and cork flooring. Catalog at lumberliquidators.com. The William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world, on the web at hewlett.org. And the Annenberg Foundation, advancing public well-being through improved communication, on the web at annenbergfoundation.org. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and Chicago Public Radio. In association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, executive producer. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is directed by Melody Kramer and produced by Mike Danforth, Emily Ecton, and Joanna Feldman. Now, panel, who will be the surprise vice presidential pick? Paula Poundstone.
Dora the Explorer. Because she's easy to change.
Allison Stewart.
I think Obama will pick Bill Clinton so he can be the first black vice president.
Ooh, clever. Roy Blunt Jr.
I think that Obama has gotten so cocky that he's going to say, okay, I'll pick Britney Spears.
Well, if any of those people are chosen for vice president panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you so much, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Paula Poundstone, Allison Stewart, Roy Blunt Jr. Thanks for all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal. It is good to be back. We will see you next week. This is NPR, National Public Radio.